We're here at Fringe City, and I've just bumped into George Orange, who's got a great title for a show, How I Almost Became the First Lady of the USA, which is happening at the Warren. George, tell us about the show.
Oh, the show is, I might read some of it off the back. It takes place in the early 90s, and in the early 90s, I was in my 20s, and I met a queer black presidential candidate that I fell in love with. He was my very first boyfriend. And yeah, it's our sort of whirlwind romance of the candidacy and the candidates, but it's also a bit of a serious show about HIV and how the U.S. government wasn't reacting to HIV and loads of people were dying and nobody was doing anything. And yeah, just how we tried to stop that, where silence equals death comes from.
Are you worried about where the U.S. is heading electorally at the moment then?
Maybe that's also why I'm doing this show. Absolutely. I'm worried. I'm worried about people becoming silent again and not... worrying about people becoming silent again, people becoming complacent, not voting, not understanding, like, that is a right that can be taken away. And people like Trump would take it away. And Cameron probably would love to take it away as well. Like, just give it to the landowners again, or give it to people of privilege instead of us, the people.
How do you write your material?
First, I just speak it. I do it at live nights, at scratch nights, and then I record it, and then I write it down from there, and then I improvise, and then I write, and then I improvise, and then I write, and slowly the improvising becomes the writing. That's, yeah.
And do you think you're going to adapt to a British audience, any of your material?
Yeah. I use sack trolley instead of dolly. I've learned that. What else have I done? Sometimes I say flat instead of apartment. The apartment I lived in Chicago instead of the flat I lived in. Wait, I lived in an apartment. I don't know. Yeah, I think it'll connect with you guys.
Yeah. And you mentioned about scratch performance and stuff like that. So, you know, what do you do with the feedback? Are you really open to that feedback and then you change, or do you hold your own?
I try to get a multiple view, so many people telling me things, and then I listen for patterns. And if those patterns are repeating, then I'm missing something. Because I know the story. I know the story in my head. So I don't always say the story out loud. And then I hear them say, oh, I don't understand that part, or I don't understand that link. But yes, I do try to hold my own as well, because it's a very surrealist show. And we did, me and my boyfriend, we did do a lot of drugs. And it's very foggy, foggy time. So in a way, it's sort of a surrealist. It jumps around in time. It has its own... George Orange, unique voice, I think, as well.
Right. And when you perform it, you know, have you let go of it, or are you kind of, you know, still in there?
Well, one of the other reasons I made the show, and to answer your question sort of a roundabout way, is I am bi. I'm not actually gay. I'm a bi man. And I realized that I, over time, had closeted my bisexuality. And... I became vulnerable because I had silenced myself. And to revisit this material, this experience, really, of silence and how silence protects you, but also caused so many deaths because so many people didn't know to advocate, so many straight people didn't know to advocate for the gay world that were dying. That, yeah, it is really personal. And sometimes I do cry on stage, so be warned.
And I think you've probably got a unique perspective on this as someone performing in this space, which is we're in a city that celebrates all kinds of sexual orientation and lifestyles. And yet there are parts of the world, parts of this country, just like the US, that couldn't be further from tolerance and embracing. Why have we got such extremes, you know, in what is supposed to be quite an enlightened world?
Oh, God. I guess it's... Just, I think it's the, I blame it on the silence. I blame it on people trying to fit in all the time, but there is no fitting in.
Do you think people collude with niceness?
Yeah. They collude with niceness. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, I think it's, like, it's not great. It's not perfect now, but it's much better than it was for the queer world. But it used to be really tough, and we forget that queers got angry. You know, queers threw bricks. And now the, like, what's happening with the refugee crisis, like, that is, it's a similar thing. They're trying to be nice. They're, you know, they're sitting there in Calais and they're like, they're not rioting, they're not burning down the cities, they're not going crazy, they're just trying to get along, but people just keep pushing them, and then yes, they are going to break out, and that breakout needs to be recognized by all communities that have had to fight for their rights. That breaking out is, if you push, if you get pushed and you get pushed, you're going to break out. And so you need to advocate for communities that are getting pushed before they break out. Otherwise, that causes deaths that is unwarranted and unwanted. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you an impossible question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How do you take dark and difficult stuff and make it funny?
I think it's a compulsion. It's a survival mechanism from my past. My mother was schizophrenic and my dad was absent, and I just survived by being funny. And this subject matter is like. My boyfriend also did this. Like, he ran for president, and it was very serious. Like, his friends were dying, and he ran for president. But his campaign slogan was "Lick Bush in '92," like, "Let's all lick Bush in '92," and putting the camp back in campaign, and making America beautiful again, and changing the name of the Supreme Court to the Supremes Court, like these. And putting only women on the board, on the bench, you know, which is important, I think. But also, it's funny. Like, those, that combination, I think, just keeps you from screaming. And nobody will listen to the screaming. They will listen to you if you're being funny as well.
So, 2 minutes before you go on stage, before we see you come on, what are you doing?
Pooping myself. Still, it's a brand new show. It's the first time in England I've done it, so pacing, circling, chasing my own tail,
being very human by the sound of it. So George, what would be your invitation to people to come and see this?
My invitation, please come. I would love to see you there. You'll have a laugh, you'll learn some things. I put on quite a good show, I think. Just come, expect to enjoy yourself, expect to learn a few things. You know, it's a thinking man's comedy show.
That's a great invite. So it's How I Almost Became the First Lady of the US, a George Orange at Playing at the Warren. Thank you very much indeed.